Oh man, oh man. It is that time of year.
Are you excited?
I'm a little bit excited, Dave.
I am crazy excited.
Well, good. Hey, everybody listening at home, you start getting excited too. It is the annual Hunt Book episode of Nevada Backcountry. And if you haven't already, stop by Hunt and House Archery Center. You said you dropped off some of these to Tim.
Yes, I did.
Perfect. So you can pick one up at Hunt and House Archery Center. Lot of changes this year, Dave.
Yeah, there actually is quite a few. I mean, I've been lucky enough to participate in a lot of the commission meetings and going through this.
Where do you want to start?
I was just saying, yeah, maybe I fell asleep during some of those because there's a lot of changes this year, you know?
You pulled a Biden in a commission meeting?
Yeah.
But I wanted to do it. Can we go in order of the book?
That's what I was thinking. Okay. Just go along with the book. So, you know, the director's message, it's kind of neat. I mean, he hits on some of the new stuff, the new antlered moose hunt that we are going to be having for the first time this year that we can put in for. And I was looking at it going, wow, I had no idea that the moose began their exploring the state of Nevada way back in the 50s.
Yeah, documented sightings as far back as the 50s.
Yeah. For some reason, I guess I missed that part. I thought it was like in the 70s or 80s, but it's all the way back to the 50s. They seem to like actually establish themselves in the state of Nevada like as a permanent resident in like 2013 is when it was first documented that they were being seen year round.
Man, that seems so quick to me. I'll be honest with the moose thing. It wasn't even on my radar. I've talked to people that have seen them here. I know people that had seen them. You know, you knew they were out there. But to go from, oh, yeah, man, it was crazy. I saw a couple moose on my elk hunt to all of a sudden now we have a tag and we can put in for it.
It
seemed like just snap of the fingers and it's here. So
it really did. That's probably our age, though.
Yeah.
You know, it took forever for Christmas, our Christmas vacation to start when we were in grade school. It was like forever.
Yeah.
And now time's going by so fast. I mean, if you think about it, that's 11 years ago.
Yeah.
11 years ago, they started to establish themselves as permanent residents. I mean, the herds are healthy. Reproduction is spot on. They've been growing well. Obviously, they've been establishing themselves and growing well enough at a rate that we can now have a management hunt.
Yeah, so very cool.
You know, so that's pretty cool. So, yeah, there's a lot of changes this year. There's a lot of stuff with the antlerless mule deer, the kids, the junior hunts. Wow.
I was going through highlighting, and I quit highlighting because it's basically two whole pages of changes to the youth hunt.
Exactly. The youth hunt, the piloted primitive junior hunt seasons where transitioning kids, if they want to, into the primitive weapons, which is archery and muzzleloader. If you're out there and your kid's knocking at the door saying, I want to try this archery thing, get down to Hunting House, man. They'll set them up. They got a bunch of really cool youth stuff down there right now. But
the good thing on that note, unlike going to one of these local stores and asking for a legal muzzle loader and you get a scoped wonder that's not legal. Yeah. The good thing is if you go down to Hunting House, they know the regs. They will make sure that your child gets set up for success with something that's legal. Because off the top of my head, I think it's got to be, the arrow has to be at least 24 inches.
Correct.
It's got to be at least 300 grains.
Correct.
And you got to be pulling at least 40 pounds, I believe.
Pounds. And I mean, the staff down there, they're awesome. If you, you've got questions, they're not going to just put the bow in a box and stick it in a big bag and say, well, thanks, here's your receipt, and have you walk out the door. They'll give you some instruction. They'll make sure you're good to go.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
Page 9 is kind of where I was thinking about starting.
All right.
So page 9, just going through, I'll do like the greatest hits, and then we can kind of drill down on a few of these. First and foremost, the management one horn for Desert Bighorn, that one horn hunt, that's going to continue in select unit groups. And we've talked about this, but the classification of a one horned bighorn sheep is the shortest horn must be less than half the length of the longest horn.
Correct.
So it's not a complete.
No. It's not in the traditional sense of if you think of a one horn.
A unicorn.
Like a unicorn animal running around. No, it has to be. No.
Let's see, going from there, mule deer. Junior mule deer hunts are now antlered only.
Correct.
And I was asking you about that. We can save that for a segment coming up when we kind of dive deep into the youth stuff.
Yeah, because I have a feeling the youth stuff is going to be...
Oh, it's going to take up a chunk.
It's going to be almost a show in its own. But
yeah, so
there's
that,
a lot.
Let's see. Oh, man, we lost a couple resident horns shorter than ears antelope hunts.
Yeah.
Poor herd productivity.
Yes.
I don't know if that's habitat related. I don't know if those... I was looking at some of the units that's in. I don't remember big fires in those units.
No, not really big fires. I do think it has to do with habitat health.
You know, well, I know one
water,
of those.
Water in the last several years has been a major issue. Those are some of these areas. Water is definitely a big challenge.
Yeah.
Having water in some of these spots. Quite a few of these do have guzzlers. You still need water to fall on the ground to fill the guzzlers. They just don't fill themselves. So there's been some, you know, over a period of time, there's been a decrease in those populations. So.
I was going to point out, too, a chunk of these units is where they removed 2,100 horses.
Yes.
Feral horses last year. So there was a whole lot of competition in a few of these units.
Oh, most definitely.
And hopefully with those feral horses out of there, hopefully the antelope stand a better chance. Maybe we'll get those hunts back. Man, just kind of a pile of bad news with sheep stuff, Dave.
Yeah, you know, it really is. And
A lot of closed units.
A lot of units kind of getting combined.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the list is pretty long. We can get into the resident bighorn sheep, any legal weapon hunts where, like, Unit 173, the north management units are going to be combined.
Right,
They're closing Unit 212 and 252 due to... the lack of mature rams and disease events. They are...
That's what a lot of these say. The recent disease, I mean...
Area 161.
Yeah.
For the archery area.
Close. It said close both Unit 161 hunts. So I'm assuming that's the archery and the anti-legal weapon.
Yes.
It's gone.
It's gone.
That's that east side of Big Smoky, the Takima range there.
Takimas, yeah.
Yeah. So that unit, both of those hunts are gone.
Yeah, those are gone. They are bringing back the 282 hunt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I saw that. Yeah.
Down south.
So that's kind of a bright spot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to take the good with the bad. So.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll rip through them real quick.
Yeah.
212, 212 is closed, 252 is closed, 161, 271, 242. As I'm going through this list, Dave, I think a lot of those units are either border with California or border with Utah, as I'm picturing.
Which ones?
So like Unit 212 down there, isn't that, that's like that north of Goldfield or Goldfield area?
212, yeah, that's that down near Tonopah. There's quite a few there. The Palomito Mountains, I think, or something, and Slate Ridge. Yeah, that's all that 212 stuff.
Yeah, so now go like Unit 242. I believe that's that south of Panaca unit.
That's Elgin area, the Clover Mountains, I think, is 242.
Okay, so
yeah,
it's
Panaca.
Weird.
It's south of Panaca.
South of it, okay.
Yeah, southeast of Panaca.
There's a lot of these units that they're closing, I noticed.
Yeah.
Now, there's like the Takima, that's inland, but it's weird how the border with California and the border with Utah, there's a chunk of units they're closing. So I don't know if that's maybe looser sheep herding regulations in other states. I don't know. I just found it interesting, we'll say, as I was looking at the map.
I don't know the answer to that if it has to do with the bordering states' regulations. I know we're doing them based on recommendations of the field biologists and supervisors and then the commission.
No, and I meant more so like, I don't know if maybe Utah doesn't have as stringent regulations for keeping domestic sheep away from wild sheep or California. See what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. I see what you're saying.
I just thought it was weird that a chunk of those units are border units
are
with
border
other
units.
States.
Yeah.
So anyway, we could explore that a little further. One big one too. A friend of mine is really, really into elk hunting this unit, but Unit 9 up there, 091.
Oh yeah, way in the corner. Way north of Wendover. Yeah, Wendover area. Yeah,
so
up there.
That is no longer, and this is a weird one, no longer an interstate mountain lion hunt with Utah. if you get hounds on a lion and it crosses the border into Utah,
you can't pursue
it. You better get those hounds off. Yeah, you cannot. Whereas it used to be, they called it an interstate hunt. If they get a lion lined out, it goes across a border. You can finish the hunt, get the lion, no big deal. Can't do that anymore. I don't know what. I don't know what that is.
That, I think, is one of those regulation, state regulation changes from the difference between Nevada's regulations and
Utah.
New regulations in Utah.
We'll try to be good about mentioning what page of the hunt book we're on.
Yeah.
So we don't get rolling and get people lost.
There's so much.
Yeah. Hey, thank you everybody for joining us on this special episode of Nevada Backcountry. It's the 2024 Hunt Book episode brought to you by Truck Envy on South Virginia Street there in Reno. Stay tuned, refill the coffee. We will be right back on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. It is the Hunt Book 2024 episode on Nevada Backcountry, and we're going to jump right back into it. Let's go page 14 for those of you following along at home. Over the break there, Dave, we were chatting about the there are a lot of changes to sheep stuff, and unfortunately, not a lot of them good. But let's start with one bright spot. There is a new hunt. It's unit 28282, and it's December 21st through January 5th. That is a new resident desert bighorn hunt. And I think, what was the other change for residents of the archery? There were some season dates.
Yeah. So they combined, they didn't combine the hunts, but they made their timelines the same, which was the 182044 hunt and the 202 hunt. They made those September 15th to October 14th.
Okay.
They just aligned them. 202 was redone so that it didn't overlap with the anti-legal weapon hunt.
That makes sense. 182 is this, the Stillwater's proper. That's going to be that east side of the refuge out there. 181 got split up last year. So 182-044, those season dates have changed.
They're parallel, basically. They're... both of them are set for September 15th through October 14th, where the archery used to start October 1st and run through October 31st.
Keeping it separate like that, I mean, there's a little bit of overlap there, but I would not complain about that.
No, I mean, that's not a bad one by any means.
So now I had a question. Let's jump to California. We'll go to page 15 for those following along at home right now. I had a question for you about this, the any legal weapon hunt, resident California bighorn sheep. It's like they've got special notes on some of these units now. I noticed the unit was highlighted in blue, and I'm referring to unit 031 and 035. 035 is it like broken up into D and E now?
Yeah, so on this particular one, what they did is they kind of split that unit up a little bit. So
kind of like the 181 east-west?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So they have a portion of unit 035, which is going to be the eastern portion, which is the Battle Creek. You know, there's a road there, kind of runs along the 140.
Okay.
So that is going to be part of the border. You'll have the southern portion or boundary of that, which is your Jungo Road. We drove that a bunch last year, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That washboarded thing. Yep. Yeah, that's the Jungo Road. So, and that runs west to Highway 95.
And it says it allows hunting in Bloody Run Hills and Slumbering Hills.
Right.
So
035 originally was like September 1st, October 31st. Just
right.
035. And similar to what they did with 181 is they just split it up. Could have been due to when you bring your sheep in and the department takes information from you, like where'd you harvest it, where did you hunt, where did you scout, seeing that the bulk of the individuals that are hunting in one specific area.
Which would be the Jacksons out there,
correct.
Which is that
035D.
Right.
So this is to make an effort to kind of split that up a bit, try to get hunters throughout the entire unit.
Okay. Well, what's cool, it's essentially a new hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. The
E-035E
is a brand new hunt, which will, I'm going to take a stab at it and say 035D, the six tags in 283, that's going to probably go down. And
right.
It's going to be
based
shifted.
On the herd size in each of those
It'll
areas.
Be shifted between 35D and 35E.
Gotcha.
When all of us are going through this book, you know, we kind of get on that one track mind thing because a lot of us have been doing this for so long. We grab the book, we highlight. Yep, I'm doing 183 again. I'm going to do 161 again. I'm going to do this again. I'm going to do that again. And you're highlighting your hunts, and you're not paying attention to the asterisks or whatever it may be, and not reading this stuff because we, at times. Folks do come into the office with their tag going, wait a second, I just got this tag, and now it's telling me that I can only do X, Y, and Z because it was changed last year. Make sure when you are choosing your hunt unit, look at the entire hunt itself.
If it's in blue or there is an asterisk,
read it.
Read it, yeah.
And understand it, not just read it, but understand it because some of these do kind of get tied up in the weeds a bit, and you got to understand, you got to know the map. You got to, some of these, you need to know where that particular road is or that drainage or what have you, because you may be like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. I'm just going to go for it. And then find out, oh, they put the line on that road, and where I want to be is on the other side of this road.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I drew an 035 sheep tag. All perfect. Hey, I've seen lots of sheep in the Jacksons. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're
like
turning over your sheep. You got a giant fine and, you know, yeah.
Just all kinds of stuff. So just friendly reminder, because there are a lot of changes specifically this year with sheep.
Now, I mean, we touched on the bad stuff. We can go through it one more time, but a lot of units closing. Let me soapbox for a second, Dave. This is why I like mule deer. I want to put money where my mouth is when it comes to mule deer. So I joined conservation groups that financially support mule deer studies, support boots on the ground conservation practices for mule deer. Hey, support organizations like NBU because there is a fight coming with this pneumonia. And especially like we did on the episode, you said something like 90%. Wild-to-wild transmission rates in a lot of these units.
Yeah.
We cannot blame domestic sheep herders anymore.
Because the bulk of it is wild-to-wild.
Right.
Now.
The state's been through this stuff before. Numbers will go down. They'll go up. But, man, we really do need to put some effort into understanding this pneumonia thing.
Yes.
So my kids can hunt sheep in the state of Nevada.
Or
if they ever draw a tag.
Yeah, right. Well, at least to be able to get in the field and to view these beautiful animals on the landscape. So, and the caveat is that hopefully people aren't looking at this and just seeing all the bad. Like, oh my gosh, closing this, closing that, not seeing enough mature rams, so they're going to take out that hunt for a while until mature rams come in. Look at it in the sense that your Nevada Department of Wildlife is doing a fantastic job of being out in the field and being able to survey these conditions and understand that for us to protect these animals and to for our children to someday get to hunt these animals, these tough choices have to be made. And through the hard work of the field biologists and the supervisors and the department as a whole, these are the hard choices that are having to be made to help these animals persist on these landscapes that seem to be constantly threatened. This is evidence of great work being done to help our Nevada wildlife, our true Nevada wildlife.
Yeah, that's a good take on it, Dave. I'd much rather have somebody slam on the brakes and say, hey, look, next couple of years, we're not going to do this hunt, then allow the car to crash and try to resuscitate a patient afterwards.
You know, and that would be really negligent of the department to say, you know what, let's not upset people and let's just keep harvesting animals, even though.
All right, buddy, I'm in a better mood then. That's a nice
spin.
Well,
I'm glad I could do that for you.
That's a good
spin. I'm glad. Of course. So,
hey, look, we mentioned the units that are closing earlier, first segment. If you miss a segment of the show, you can always go back and re-listen through Apple Podcasts, or you can go to the website 991fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab. The whole show is available there as soon as it goes to air every Sunday. And if you guys have questions, or, you know, we went over whatever, you don't want to sit through a 40-plus minute show to find the one page number we mentioned, shoot us a text. The number is 775-884-9910. Shoot a text and say, hey, Dave and Henry, you guys talked about this elk hunt or whatever. And we'll go back and we'll try to touch on it at a later date. We love the emails we get from you guys, the comments on social media. Although I do apologize. For some reason, when we get a message on social media, you got to go in and like approve the message. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I just noticed that. Is that like a new update that just occurred or something on
Instagram?
Man,
I got no idea.
I have no idea. I noticed that myself. So
for those of you that sent us messages, hey, we greatly appreciate them. If it was like a month ago and we didn't get back to you, it's hung up in that. I got to go in and approve the message and then read it. But we will try to tackle all those that we get. Dave, there was one more thing on sheep you wanted to bring up before we go to break here.
There's another area that's been changed. So you have a closed unit. So for the California sheep, you were able to do 012 and 014 units.
Okay.
Well, this year coming up, 014, the portion of 014 is going to be a closed unit. It'll be a 012 hunt.
Oh, okay. Only 012.
Yeah.
All right. After the break, let's tap on that one more time. We'll talk about what part of the state that's in. Don't go anywhere. The show's Nevada Backcountry. The stations are 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thanks for sticking around through the break. The show is Nevada Backcountry with David Catalano and me, Henry Evans. Right before we went to break, we were talking about unit 012014, the breakup of the sheep hunt.
Yeah, the California Bighorn.
Right. So there, hey, caveat, last year we ran into a few issues out in that country.
Yeah, 034.
Right.
Right across
a border
the road.
Unit.
Right across the road there. Yeah.
Make sure Slumgullion is passable this year.
Yeah.
If you draw that tag and head out there. Now, 014 is the Granites.
Yes.
And that is closed now. It's not a combo with 012. Is that the way I understand that?
Yeah. So how it reads in the book, unit 014 portion of 014-012 units will be closed.
Okay.
So getting into, you know, your resident California hunt and seeing what any asterisks may be there is...
You got to do your homework with this stuff. So 012 is the Calicos. 014 would be the Granites.
Yeah. Well, and 014 is completely... Yeah, the Granites. 014 is... You can't hunt it at all.
Period.
It is a unit that has been removed this year.
It's not
so it's only 012 hunt.
Okay, you can only hunt in the Calicos. It's only a 012 hunt. I see you flipping pages over there. We got to go back, Dave. We missed something at the beginning of the book you were saying.
Yeah, page 8. The new regulations for 24-25 season.
I can't figure out why I skipped that page.
Yeah, right?
All right, hang in there. Let's get through the regulations.
So there's a few, nothing too surprising.
Okay.
A lot of stuff that's been conversation the whole year. Maybe not the spike hunt, though. So the spike hunt, the antler designation has been modified again. So a spike means any antlered elk having no more than 2 antler points on either side. So
on either side?
On either side, sorry. Yeah, on either antler.
Okay, so it could have like the start of the fronts and then the main beam, and as long as that's it, it's legal?
Yes.
As long as 2?
2.
Okay.
2 on each side, so at least.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously a true spike, nothing.
Right.
Wax City. But, you know, if you've got one that's a crabby 3 on one side and a 2 on the other, that's not legal.
I think of spikes as like a Gemsbuck looking thing with just two single things.
Yeah. I mean, when it first happened, when the first hunt happened or was released, that's how it was. It had to be a true spike.
Yeah. Okay.
Which created a lot of issues because with a rifle at 400 or 500 yards with your scope, you might not be able to see a little cheater right at the skull.
Yeah, line. The start of those fronts come. Right. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay,
so it's been modified. So that is the NAC 502145. If you want to really, get into the dirt.
Yeah, you knocked some cobwebs loose on that.
Oh man, I'm a little dizzy.
All right. Yeah. What else regs wise?
Well, and they've got some changes on the trail camera stuff, which you can get into again. That one, which is NAC 502.
Okay.
And I do recommend getting in there and checking that out because it talks about has to be removed off the land by August 1st through December 31st. Any trail cameras.
Okay. A few years back.
Several years back. But now there's a lot of cameras now that have that instantaneous satellite relay to your phone.
It emails. Yeah, it'll email or text you.
It shows up on
your
phone. With some of that stuff, it is illegal to use a trail camera from July 1 through December 31st of each year if the camera has the capability of transmitting an image, video, or a UTM/location of the wildlife instantaneously.
Yeah, okay.
So how some of those work is it'll take a picture.
Oh, no, I know how the cameras work. I'm making a weird face because I'm trying to figure out why.
You have to go to the bathroom or something?
Yeah, buddy is knocking. I'm making a weird face because I get, a lot of my friends back east, that's all they use, right?
Yeah.
Whitetail hunting. I totally get how those work, but I'm thinking like why July 1st through December 31st.
Yeah, a month sooner.
Why the additional reg for...
For 1 month?
Yeah.
I'd assume it has to do with patterning. If you're sitting there and watching, I'm assuming.
Okay, yeah, we're spitballing here.
I'm thinking that it has to do with, not that you can't get that if you have a standard camera that's just taking pictures, and when you pick it up on July 30th, you can look at those pictures and say, okay, yeah, this bull shows up in the last month. He's coming in to the water hole between 4 and 6 every evening.
Well, what's the difference between going out once, let's say every Saturday morning at 3 a.m., you sneak out, you take the card, you look, okay, well, this bull's coming in here. All right, put the card back. I'm out of here. I'm sneaking out. So what's the difference for the month of July between doing that versus sitting there in your whitey tighties with a cup of coffee, looking on your phone going, oh, that bull was that's a weird one to me.
Yeah, I don't really have an answer for it. I don't really know why there's that separate regulation for 1 month's time.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't have any of those transmitting cameras.
No.
So it's not going to affect me whatsoever.
No. But that is a reg. If you do have a transmitting camera, those are the regs.
All right. So what else you got?
You know, they go into some of the thermal imaging and optics. You can't obviously use thermal imaging equipment to hunt with, which kind of makes sense because you can't hunt at night anyway. So,
what about for down animal retrieval?
Thermal imaging for down, like trying to, if you shoot it and it's in the evening and now it's dark and you're still looking for the animal?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Okay, here's why I bring that up. Could have covered this in the housekeeping segment, but there was just the case back east. Man, I'm going to screw this up, everybody listening. So text us and correct me on this, but I want to say it was Ohio or Pennsylvania, one of those states. This guy, he sold his services to hunters. He had a drone with a thermal imaging thing on
it. Yeah.
So a whitetail hunter, you know, you put an arrow through a really good buck and it goes into some nasty, thick creek bottom. You could hire this guy and he made you sign a thing like, you know, kind of a CYA that you swear that you have put an arrow through this deer. It is now wounded. He's not locating a healthy bedded buck for you.
Right.
And then he would fly his drone, do the thermal imaging, find like, okay, hey, this is where you shot the buck. You're saying this is where you shot the buck. It went down in here. Hey, I found it. You can go in the morning and
this
retrieve
is where it is.
This is where it is. Well, he just got rung up in court over that using a thermal device to locate game. his argument is, I wasn't locating game. Look, I have all the signed contracts with these people. They're saying they swear, hand on the Bible, they put an arrow through this thing. So fast forward to the state of Nevada reg. That's why I'm asking, because you'd hate to get into a situation where you put an arrow through a 200-inch typical that went down in some canyon.
And thick, nasty Wyoming sage, taller than you, and you have to literally cover every inch of that ground.
And you think you're doing something ethical by getting out a thermal scope at midnight and looking down in the canyon trying to find this thing.
So reading through this a little further, it says that's illegal. So let me, I will actually read that portion to you.
Yeah, let's lay it out, Dave.
Let's see. A person shall not possess or use electronic night vision equipment, yada, 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 moves on forward, a bunch of stuff about the type of equipment, you know, night vision goggles and stuff. Comparable equipment or devices used to enhance light vision while hunting or taking any game mammal or game birds, or while locating game mammals or game birds for the purpose of hunting.
So I guess retrieval would be part of hunting.
I would assume, that would be. Yeah. Well, it is part of hunting. I mean, you're retrieving the animal now, and that's part of
the hunt.
Hunting process. But it does make sense that if it's already downed, I wonder if it has to do with just because you have shot an animal and it's on the ground and dead somewhere in some large thicket, that using a drone, typically, because they do sound like a big pile of bees, isn't affecting other animals in that area and spooking them. But if you're just using a set of night vision goggles that don't make any sound, don't do anything.
To look down in there and say, oh, look, okay, I see, hey, you know, well, that thing's on its side. Yeah.
Let's do some digging and maybe we can.
Maybe do an episode on that. Yeah.
Do a little bit better, address something there in the future. Maybe we can try to see if we can get a game warden on.
Big thanks to Legacy Sports International for sponsoring the show. You draw one of these tags in a steep area, get yourself a Howa Superlight. On that note, we're out of here for a couple minutes. We'll be right back to jump back into the book. Final segment of the show here.
I don't think we're going to get through all of this.
We're not, Dave. That's the bottom line. So looking at the time, we'll have to do the junior hunt. That could be a whole show, junior hunts.
Oh, my. Yeah, with all the changes and stuff with the junior hunt.
All right. We're going to adjust on the fly. For those of you that were only hanging around for the junior hunt, I'm sorry to disappoint, but we're going to cover that in a future episode. There's a lot of ground to cover there.
Yeah. And then we'll cover all the questions that we've actually created for ourselves.
Oh, buddy. I've got highlighted. I got notes. It's a lot. Let's jump to page 17 for those of you following along at home. Elk hunts. Let's talk about a bull hunt. One in particular, Dave, 091. I know somebody that likes this unit a lot.
Yeah.
So that is an interstate hunt. We talked about the mountain lion hunt no longer being an interstate hunt in 091.
Correct.
So if you're running hounds on lions in unit 091 north of Wendover there, you cannot pursue the mountain lion across the border into Utah. However, 091, the elk hunt, if you're hunting in that open unit in Utah, you have to follow Utah regulations. So maybe there's some small finicky like bow stuff. You can only be at certain let off or I don't know.
Who knows?
But make sure you do a little research there. You pointed out the dates on there. It's longer or they shifted something.
It's an extra week. So it's August 17th to September 7th where
a lot
of the other hunts, and that's for archery. Is like August 16th to the August 31st. It's like a 2-week hunt where that one's going to be a 3-week hunt.
Very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the big change there. And that's with archery.
We can bring them. Yeah. We can bring the information in relation to what is Utah's regulation on archery hunt compared to how the differences are.
Let's jump down to, you want to talk about the depredation, because there's some changes to season dates, and I don't know, it's all Unit 14 stuff, the early and the late. They just shifted those dates for some reason?
On the depredation hunt? The,
yeah, page 17 under yeah, the antlered.
144-145.
So it looks like now it's a whole, it's 2 months. It's the entire month of August and the entire, and September.
And September, yeah. Yeah, they just added time to it. They increased the time.
So the early is now 2 months. It's August and September. The late, that's a 3-month hunt, that late hunt.
One of the big reasons is because there's so few elk in the area. They're just providing you more time to get on those elk if you can find them.
Oh, I see. Hey, what did we say earlier? I got to start taking my own advice. Read the asterisks.
Oh, yeah. Yo, it
so it says right there.
Low elk numbers. Resident elk numbers. Yeah, poor hunt success expected. So if you're just looking for a really awesome camping trip, yeah, well, I've been in that area quite a bit, and I've seen elk in there, but it's not every day or every 3 or 4 or 5 days.
And that's going to be central part of the state.
So that's like outside. That is going to be west of Eureka.
Oh,
so if any of
gotcha.
You have
okay.
been to Perdiz's,
the gun club,
gun
out
club
there.
There's that road that goes along there at Perdiz's.
Okay,
follow that one all the way out there. That's all 145.
Okay, and what's the issue? Just the elk herd not. Why sell the depredation tags? Why low numbers?
That's been a hunt for probably a decade now. It's kind of like that depredation hunt in Elko, the Area 10 depredation. I don't know why they still call it a depredation hunt, because that's been going on for 20 plus years. I'm trying to get the animals to stay out of those units.
Okay. Yeah, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
All right. You want to go, let's see, anything else on the antlered elk, Dave, that you want to make sure we get in there?
There's not a ton of changes with
no,
the
there sure
elk.
Weren't.
It's pretty standard. Elk herds are doing fairly well in the state.
They didn't get their butts kicked like the mule deer with this last winter.
No.
Elk can punch through that snow, and they're a bigger, hardier animal.
Just some date changes. May not see as many cow elk tags. Again, with the new calculations and the new way that they're going to be distributing tags, we'll most likely see in certain areas less rifle, more archery, more muzzleloader. I don't know if you're going to see any areas where you're going to have more rifle and they're going to be removing from
archery. I kind of doubt that.
Yeah.
And we won't know any of that. I mean, that hasn't been decided yet what those actual numbers are going to be.
No, because the department does not have the quotas yet this year. The quota meeting is in May. All of us will have put in for our tags already because
the
deadline is
May 8th.
May 8th. And I don't think the quota meeting is until just after May 8th.
It's got to be that gap because here's a cool thing, and I could be wrong about this, but I feel like I used to wait a lot longer to find out what I drew.
You did.
Okay, because now deadline's May 8th. For everybody listening, highlight that day, get your applications in before then. But I noticed that tag results are going to come out May 17th.
Correct.
So that meeting has to take place basically between the 8th and the 17th.
So that commission meeting's probably that same weekend, the 9th and 10th or something.
Oh,
It'll be the quota setting meeting. It's a very, 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 very long meeting.
Contentious?
It can be. I recommend anyone that is interested in the process to get in there. And I mean, just you don't have to stay the whole time. It's an open door deal. You can walk in, sit down, listen to the commission and department and people in the public, and then you can get up and leave whenever you want. So,
Can you bring outside food and beverages?
Man.
Or is it like movie theater policy?
Are you talking like flasks and stuff?
Can I wheel in a cooler, set out a picnic blanket, and have myself a grand old time?
I don't see why not.
Perfect.
There's no sign saying.
Seems like it'd be more tolerable.
No, yeah, there's no sign saying, hillbilly activity.
Search my purse for my bottle of Crown.
Yeah, exactly. So,
all right.
So, yes, that changed quite a few years ago where, you're right, we used to wait a long time. We would put in for our tags. It'd be, the beginning of May would be the end. And I remember, because my birthday's in June, late June, that we would always find out right around my birthday.
Yeah, end of June. Okay.
Several years ago, I'm probably talking a decade or so ago, there was a NAC passed to have those
speed
tags,
up the process.
Speed up the process once the draw happens.
Here's the kicker, too. This is a little sidebar. There is somebody in Reno, there's a couple, with my name, first name and last name, and my wife's first name and last name. It ain't us. So every year, I got to figure out, because I will get the, hey, nice job on that bull tag. What the hell? I didn't draw a bull tag.
Oh, it's them.
How weird is that? Yeah.
You know what you do? Is you walk into the department, and you're like, lost my tag.
I need to get a new tag. Yeah.
Here's my name, Henry
Evans.
It's so
weird. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so anyway.
Don't do that.
Whoever they are out there, man, you guys, you make me crazy every year. Hey, it can be a glorious day. It can be a depressing day. But let's see. We got, oh, man, Dave, we're about out of time here. We did not get to everything we wanted to get to.
Yeah, I know. And if anyone out there is perusing through all of these pages, and you have questions about anything in here, please send us a message, send us a text, a message, get on our social media, try to get that thing to accept all of these messages, comments and stuff. As you get in here and you start getting into page 21 and beyond, you're going to see a whole lot of blue.
Oh, nothing but
you
blue.
You have a whole section in here about junior primitive hunting. And that is going to be something we will dive into.
Like you said, we'll do a whole show on the junior stuff because that is the bulk of changes this year. It really is.
Without a doubt, that and sheep are just really have taken center stage on all of this. And during our conversations in relation to junior hunts, a lot of parents out there probably really wondering, like, wow, what are we going to do this year? Send us some messages.
Thank you to the sponsors, Legacy Sports International, Hunt and House Archery Center, and Truck Envy, all of them right here in Reno. Hey, go support these guys. Thank you, everybody, for taking an hour out of your Sunday to tune in, listen to Dave and I go through this book. Dave was right on the money. Send us questions if you got them. Text number is 775-884-9910. Website is 991fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab. All the episodes are available there, and I've now started naming them instead of just putting dates.
So really?
Fancy,
dude.
I know. It only took me a year.
Well, so, you know, progress.
Now, instead of going, hey, what in the hell did you guys talk about on 11723, I've made it more user-friendly. We are out of here. Tom Gresham is coming up next at 11.